Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And joining us right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline on the Wendy's Big Show, writes for NFL.com and NFL Network, Michael Silver, joining us here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Michael, appreciate the time as always. Your conversations with Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, first off, what was your first feelings of if Matt LaFleur and how he's settling into his new position as head coach of the Green Bay Packers?
Well, he's settling in while riding on a scooter, which is not ideal. And, you know, I know he doesn't have to go run around and actually play the game, so it could be worse. But, you know, think about it. You're 39 years old. You finally get a shot. You want to be out there. You want to be active. You don't want to be self-conscious. I think that is a bummer for him. But he's obviously super psyched about the opportunity. He's a guy who's, you know, kind of a warrior, kind of you know, wants to know every contingency, very detailed. So he's definitely not underthinking it. I also think he's understandably excited about working with Aaron Rodgers and, you know, some of these great offensive playmakers, just in terms of the play calling side and the head coaching thing. That can be daunting, but he's definitely appreciative of the opportunity.
Michael, I think the worry of some of us with this whole deal with Rodgers and LaFleur is that Rodgers could get himself in a position where he could steamroll LaFleur and kind of bully him into doing what he wants to do and get the freedom that McCarthy allowed him at the end of the day. Because Aaron tends to be a guy that always believes that he's the smartest guy in the room, and that might not work to LaFleur's advantage.
Well, first of all, I think he is really smart, and he's really good, especially specifically at, you know, going up to the line, serving the situation, and sometimes changing the play to a better play. So, I don't necessarily believe it's binary, like the player has to do what the coach wants. He's got a skill set. It's unique, and it's been really effective at times. And, you know, Matt knows that. Part of the issue is just that in the offense that Matt is running, which is essentially the Kyle Shanahan offense, they don't build in, audibles. It's just they believe they have answers. Sometimes they'll send a quarterback up to the line and say, call one of two plays, but you're supposed to make that call based on what you see, and there's not a lot of wiggle room. Aaron's point would be, hey, that's cool. I'm pumped about this offense, but there might be a time where, based on my, you know, body of knowledge and skills, I can help. Part of the issue is mechanical. Just there's so much pre-snap going on with motion. There's so much done formationally with formation-specific personnel at times that, you know, first of all, to deal with all that, secondly, to get out of that, you know, with formation-specific personnel, it doesn't always work. So you're talking about, you know, a matter of seconds maybe that Aaron has to get accomplished what he previously had more time to do. So that's all of the, you know, that's kind of the landscape of what they're working through. But the good news is they're both really excited about working with each other. They're well-intentioned. And, I think we're talking about, you know, kind of some gradations of how the scheme will ultimately function.
So, Mike, here's what you did, and I thought it was a great article, and maybe you didn't know what you did, but you kind of stirred some things up a little bit in the fact that previously there was a relationship with McCarthy and Rodgers and who was calling the plays and who weren't calling the plays, and Rodgers didn't like what plays came in, and then there were some players saying that, well, Rodgers says, we're not running that play, we're going to run this play. And so you kind of stirred that up again. I don't know if you probably intentionally mean to do that. And now all of a sudden, fast forward to today, when you wrote your article the other day that we saw it, is that now Rodgers want more control of the offense, want more freedom, and this offense really doesn't lend itself to being that way.
Yeah, and I don't know that there's a right and wrong answer. Trust me, I talk to a lot of coaches and a lot of play callers, and there is not one of them who would not be thrilled to have this problem. And I put problem in quotes. You know, if you told,
yes,
and I'm talking about the best guys in the world at this. If you told, you know, pick a guy, Sean Payton, Sean McVay, hey, you're going to now coach Aaron Rodgers, but watch out because he's going to want a lot of control. They'd be like, okay, I'll do it right now. I'll take that deal. He is as revered as he is by fans in our world with, you know, the people who actually know this stuff. He is held in exceptionally high esteem, maybe higher than any quarterback who has ever played in some way. So I don't think it's necessarily, oh, my God, Aaron wants control. But I understand the trigger, and I understand what we're all reacting to, and that is that a long relationship between Mike and Aaron that, you know, had a lot of tension and a lot of push and pull and ultimately got worse and ran its course. We're coming off of that. And so, you know, listen, all I know is change can be good. And let's just say that, you know, if Mike and Aaron had had enough of each other and the product on the field was now starting to suffer, Aaron would understandably be in a upbeat frame of mind to have that change. And, you know, so I think that's what I'm getting from him. Like, I love Kyle's offense. I'm excited. Matt's really smart. He's a good dude. I'm excited to work with them. And again, for the fans, remember that this offense is ideally going to take a lot of that pressure off of Aaron and the weight of the world. You know, he's going to have, I think, a high functioning running game that sets up play action and balance and not only an initiative to get rid of the ball quickly, but the, you know, hopefully open guys very early. So if all that's working the way it's supposed to, most of the time it's going to look really good and it's going to be a better reality for him. Will this one issue with the audibles just not be able to resolve itself and become a symbol of something that just won't work or player mutiny? I don't really see it happening that way. And I think it's cool that both guys are mindful of it in June and talking about it in an intelligent way, when asked, and then, you know, saying, hey, we have to work through this. We're going to have a bunch of conversations between now and then. So to me, that's all positive. But I understand because last year sucked and the year before was rough when Aaron got hurt. And, Mike and Aaron did a lot of really good things together. And it's been that way it was that way for a long, long time. And change is always a little jolting.
Talking with Mike Silver of NFL Network, NFL.com, here about his article about the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur moving forward on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike, I thought it was also interesting in the conversation and in the article, you had written about somewhat of an ambiguous situation where coaching and coaching prospects didn't know exactly how to feel about the situation because of what you just laid out in Aaron's previous success, how you're able to then be able to quantify how much better you're able to make him as a first-time head coach.
Yeah, and, you know, how much better, I mean, he's pretty good. I know it was a rough year, but I've heard people say he had a bad year. He might not have had his best year, but he did some things last year, I thought, that with an injury where he still looked transcendent and different than almost anyone I've ever seen. So I think it's still there. I think it's, you know, the idea that, hey, let's not make him have to do everything himself and let's have a scheme that takes some of the pressure off of him but still allows him to, you know, do his thing, like that sounds really, really good to me. And I just think change is good. And that's one thing Aaron, you know, said to me. I said, you know, it's kind of a kick in the butt just to have change. Is it fun? And he said, yeah, it really is fun. He said, it's a lot, you know, learning a new language, having to translate it in my head at the line, adjusting to Matt as a person, trying to get to know him, trying to get him to loosen up, trying to get him to understand my dry sense of humor, you know, all that. It is a lot, but I think sometimes, you know, we get in these modes professionally where you know, it's nice to get out of your comfort zone. I mean, I know as a writer most of my career when I started doing more TV, I didn't feel like I was really, you know, adept at it on the air. I was just kind of figuring it out, but it was exciting to me. I liked just having it be different. And so I think, you know, that part could be really cool too. You know, with in Matt's case, it's just a much, you know, different role. And remember, he only called plays once, and that was last season in Tennessee under much more adverse conditions. But I'll tell you this, you know, if you're going to be a first-time NFL head coach and play caller and you're coming to Green Bay and you've got Aaron Rodgers hopefully for a while, that's a pretty good opportunity. And, you know, it's the only place I know in professional sports where you win one championship, you're going to be driving to work on a street named after you. That's pretty exciting.
No, that is true. Mike, what's your read on Matt LaFleur and what kind of coach he really is? If you had a chance to talk to him and just to see what he's all about?
You know, he's a guy who, you know, likes to have fun and has a really good personality, but I don't know how much it's going to come out in the workplace early on, because he is super, super detailed and kind of a worrier, you know, okay, well, here's the play. This play should work. Well, what if they do this? But what if that happens? Well, what if this guy doesn't do this and wants to have the contingencies worked out? And he wants, you know, he wants the people around him to be detailed and to be on it. And he can, you know, he can be very, very strong-willed and emphatic, and I think he's going to be okay doing that. You know, it's the only bad thing about the job, in my opinion, this specific Packer job, is it comes with a high standard and a lot of pressure, and understandably so. But, you know, I hope he gets off to a good start, and you know, it goes smoothly early, and I think you'll see him loosen up a lot more. And honestly, knowing Mike and Matt both, and liking both guys, I think Matt will, you know, potentially let his guard down a lot more than Mike. You know, in the media and those types of things, I think you'll see the real person come out hopefully pretty soon.
I can imagine if you would have asked Aaron, what do you think about your head coach getting hurt playing basketball, his raw answer would have been, I don't know if you got a chance to discuss that or not, but I really want to know what was his thinking, because this is new for him. He's not seeing a guy 39 years old playing basketball and riding around on a cart. I just want to know, what does he think?
Mike, you don't think Mike was running those knockout games?
No.
No, not at all.
Let me just say this, because, like, when I tweeted the thing about Matt, and, you know, it got a lot of attention that one morning, and wasteland of humanity, and I detest it, even though I recognize its importance for work purposes, and I have some fun on it, but I was kind of struck, because I expected a lot of people to, you know, kind of be cool. And there were some people who were, like, you know, reasonably respectful. But then there was this insane outpouring of, ha-ha, what an idiot, oh, my God. And I started noticing a pattern, and that is that the people clowning him or thinking that somehow it was a sign that he, you know, wasn't a good athlete or, like, they were all under the age of 35. They were and everyone like 35 and older was kind of like, oh, man, that happened to me. Or, oh, I know a guy that – oh, hang in there, coach. That's right, because when you're under 35, you don't get it. Ha, ha, ha. Laugh now, because it's coming for you. You might be, you know, backpedaling on the flag football field coaching kids, and you might pop your Achilles too. I mean, no, but seriously, it's one of those things where I don't think people who aren't young are judging, but for whatever reason, our young people haven't figured that out yet.
Well, Michael, as a young person that didn't make a couple of jokes, thanks. I'm gonna think back now when I drop back in coverage as a middle linebacker in flag football.
There you go. I mean, you know, I just listen, man. When I heard he was playing knockout, in and of itself, I was excited. I was like, I could get back out on the court. But then you think about it and you're like, yeah, scooters are kind of a pain in the butt. I like walking.
See, Leroy, it was good. Everybody wants to get out there and play a little basketball, feel
yeah,
active,
I know,
feel
I've
good.
I've never even heard a knockout.
I'm told they don't call it knockout in Wisconsin.
Usually it's lightning in Wisconsin.
Yes, I now, okay, I've now been.
You guys are bored. Just stick to a horse. It's safer.
You call it pop, though. Do you call, soft drinks, soda, pop?
Michael, appreciate the insight. We'll talk soon. NFL Network and NFL.com. Read along. One of the best in the business, Mike Silver on Twitter. Appreciate the time, Michael.
Thanks for having me, guys.
That's Michael Silver from NFL Network, NFL.com, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.